Today is Monday, January 15th, episode 32 of the podcast, and I'm really happy to have you all checking in. It's been a few weeks since I podcast. I think the last podcast that I did was actually with Thad and I in Iowa. We did like a week-long daily update podcast from when we were out there trying to get Thad tagged out with, on a archery buck. So if you haven't, go back and check that podcast out. There was actually like a series of like, I want to say 5 days that we were out there doing podcast. And that was just before Christmas that we did that. And I took a couple weeks off. Got pretty busy with my job and covering vacations and such. So I haven't been able to get anything put out for, I guess going on a few weeks now. But figured that I would jump back in, get back into this next episode, and then work into the second season. So we'll get a bunch of cool stuff in play coming into this year. But on this podcast, I figured that we would just kind of do an update as to where we're at right now and what we're doing through these winter months. Now that deer season's pretty much officially closed in most any state or most all states. There might be an exception of just a few states that are still open here going into the end of the month. But, as far as my personal season and the folks around me, we pretty much shut it down and put the stuff away and start thinking about what next year looks like. And then for us, what I like to do is I transitioned to steelhead fishing here in the state of Michigan. It's kind of one of my addictions that I have, aside from deer hunting. I almost get just as addicted to steelhead fishing as I do deer hunting. The process is the same, It's different, but it's the same, There's a lot of gear that goes into it, preparation and trying to figure out, where the fish are at that time of year and what they're doing. And there's a lot of techniques and stuff that we change up and to see if we can't get ourselves, hooked up, so to speak. So anyway, I don't know if unless you've been living in a bubble, at least in the state of Michigan, we just got pounded with some serious snow this past week. Where I live here in central Michigan, we've got probably collectively close to 12 inches of snow between two snowstorms that we got hit with this last week. Like I said, probably the first one, probably 4 or 5 inches of really heavy, heavy, wet snow. And then just this past Friday, we just got hammered with probably another 10 to 12 inches. So collectively, between the two storms, we had some melt off. And then this last Friday, getting that big one into Saturday. And so we are definitely in a winter wonderland right now. So if you're a snowmobiler, man, thumbs up to you. You guys got some great snow to get after. I love snowmobiling. I don't personally own any snowmobiles or anything like that, but I have some friends that do have them. And we always get the opportunity to try and get together a bunch of us and go on a snowmobile trip somewhere into the UP or up north by Cadillac area somewhere. So that's always a good time. But been working on some projects over the last couple weeks. I got some other projects that I'm working on. Just recently I built a storage compartment area for a bunch of totes to kind of help organize hunting gear and a bunch of other gear, mostly Christmas stuff for my wife. But that one took me a bit here this past weekend, but I was pretty happy with the way it turned out. I've got all the plans and stuff to do that. If anybody's interested in something like that, man, just hit me up, message me. I'll tell you exactly what I did because I am no carpenter. I mean, I don't know shit about any of that stuff, and I'll be the first to tell you that I don't. So I just don't have the vision for that stuff. I wish I would have taken a bunch more classes when I was younger, as far as like carpentry classes and framing classes, wood shop, all that stuff, but I just didn't. It just wasn't my thing, and it's probably biting me in the ass right now because I'm not doing that, but I'm learning. Thank God for YouTube. So I got that project done. I got a couple other projects that I'm working towards. One is a project out in my garage. I've got an insulated garage, and I'm going to put some countertops up because just recently, well, I shouldn't say recently, in the last probably 6-8 months, I invested in a bunch of meat processing equipment. So I'm going to build some countertops in my garage to where we can heat it but still keep it cool and be able to process our deer and stuff right there in the garage when we shoot them. So for tons and tons of years, I just took my stuff to a meat cutter, processor, whatever, paid the money, did all the things. And I never did a bunch of like crazy stuff like getting brats or sticks or jerky or, you know, any specialty type stuff done. And just because it was expensive and I just really didn't have the money to spend on all that stuff. But, obviously I've paid my dues and, was able to invest in a bunch of processing equipment. I actually went in on it with my brothers, with my brother, Scott. And so we got all the stuff to process our own deer. And let me tell you, it has probably been one of the most fun, like, hobby, so to speak, that I've taken up in quite a little while. And that's what this podcast is going to be about today, is I'm just going to kind of tell you about the things that we bought and the process that I took to be able to do this stuff. Like I said, aside from like getting your deer and taking it to the processor, I used to just get straight cut, you know, just give me steaks and burger. And I'd get, obviously the steaks, we love the steaks, we eat the hell out of them, but all the burger, we're not much of a burger eating family. So, I mean, we get a beef every year. So just, you know, we would just eat the beef, you know, as far as the burger goes. And then I had all this venison burger that it just wouldn't get used. And I mean, I'll be honest with you, I had some of it just got freezer burnt and because we didn't use it. So, a good buddy of mine told me that he had bought some equipment to make up brats and snack sticks and do jerky and all this stuff. So, I was able to take some burger down to him, some venison that I had gotten from a deer that I had shot. Probably this would have been last year. Went down there and we made up a ton of different brats. And he had some snack sticks, breakfast sausage, stuff like that. And I instantly was like, just like, this is what I want. This is what I want to do. I want to be able to do all this stuff. Just because I was so tired of, you know, that venison burger going to waste. And I just didn't want to pay somebody for it. Because, I mean, like I said, it can get super expensive. So that started the process of looking for, the proper equipment to be able to do this stuff ourselves. Well, I mean, you can go out and buy new stuff, and that's great. But I still was kind of budget friendly, you know. So I talked to my brother about it, and we just decided, hey, let's maybe try and get into this stuff. Because he was in the same situation I was, and I'm sure a lot of people are that way. We come across this Facebook post on Facebook Marketplace, and this guy was just like selling all this equipment for processing. And it was a good price and the stuff was in really good shape and he had some extra stuff to go along with it. So I was just like, hey, let's do this, man. So I was able to get all this equipment and, it's been a fun process to do. So I would highly encourage anybody to do it. And if I can do it, anybody can do it. 'Cause I'm no expert at anything, but, so yeah, that's, kind of what I wanted to talk about today. I was just going to tell you guys about the stuff that we actually bought. Most of it, all of it is with the exception of certain things that we have picked up since we started doing it. Seems like every time we go into like either making brats or the snack sticks or, you know, any of the other stuff that you, summer sausage, this and that we make, that we kind of like, okay, what should we add to this whole mix of things? So just kind of been writing things down as I go. And then, you know, as I can afford it, I just acquire the stuff. So I guess the first thing that we bought, it was a Lem Big Bite 8 grinder. And I I want to say it's a, it's either a half or a quarter horse. I haven't, I should have checked probably before I came on here, but that was one of the used things. We got a mixer, a 25-pound mixer, a LEM mixer that actually attaches right to the grinder head, which is awesome. It's not necessary. Like, you can mix this stuff, all this stuff by hand, but it came with a mixer, so it was awesome. So 25 pounds will pretty much hold any, you know, a fair amount of meat, especially for, you know, doing up brats and snack sticks, breakfast sauces and stuff. So other thing that I would highly recommend, get yourself a bunch of meat totes. You know, they're just basically plastic. They look like a dish pan almost, you know, just big plastic pans to throw meat in. And I think we've got like three or four of them that we use. And you'll find that as you're doing all this stuff, that they're very, very crucial to the process and how it works. One of the new, actually one of the things that came with this whole, those three things that, with the exception of a couple of the totes, came with this whole setup that we bought off Facebook Marketplace. The other was a Vivor electric stuffer. It's a 15 liter electric stuffer. And it's awesome. A lot of guys are using hand crank stuffers, and those are fine too. But like I said, this just came with this whole setup. This sucker will hold like 25 pounds of meat in, you know, the stuffing canister. And then, you know, you just, whatever you're stuffing at the time, you just push all that stuff in there. And Vivor is a company that I really had no knowledge of up to this point. I don't think they're an American company. Matter of fact, I'm sure they're not an American company. But what they do make, the stuff is pretty quality stuff. I mean, I know LEM and, you know, there's other companies out there that really have some nice stuff. But obviously, being on a budget, this stuff, I'm not going to lie, it's pretty decent stuff. And up to this point, it's worked flawlessly for me. So, yeah, so we got that electric stuffer. I bought a good processing knife kit. I ended up just buying one from Outdoor Edge. It's like a, I don't know, 12 or 15 piece processing kit. It's got like a boning knife and a butcher knife and a saw and all that stuff. And it all comes in a nice handy case. I know there's a lot better knives out there, but for what we're doing, it works perfect. You can put everything all in one case and it's super handy. So we bought that. And then get yourself some cutting boards. Got some good polyurethane cutting boards. Perfect for that. It's not necessary. It's just kind of an additional thing to add to it. And then one of the new things that I bought, going back to this whole Vivor company, is I originally had bought a Food Saver vacuum sealer. And it was one of the higher end ones. It had pretty good reviews. I wouldn't say it's like a commercial grade by any means, but it was pretty good. I used that for a year or so, and it worked good, but I could tell that it wasn't great just because it was kind of slow. It was cumbersome. Didn't always get a good seal on it, so I kind of thought, man, there's got to be a better one out there. But, man, I tell you what, you get into like the good ones, and you can spend upwards of $1,000. For you know, for a vacuum sealer. I know LEM makes some really good vacuum sealers. And then some guys I know are like, if you really want to get into it and you want to do it right, you need to get yourself a chamber vacuum sealer. And I'm like, okay. So I started researching them, and those suckers get expensive, super expensive. But then I come across this Vivor company again. So I started doing some research, and they actually have a chamber sealer. And the price was really reasonable on it. I'm not going to lie. I was like, kind of like, man, this thing can't be that good because it was pretty cheap. I think I ended up paying like, it was under $400 for this thing. And some of the better Food Saver vacuum sealers were right around that price. But they weren't like a chamber sealer. They were just like a vacuum sealer that it's a completely different concept on how it seals up in comparison to this chamber sealer. With this chamber sealer, you just put this whole bag right into this chamber. You put the lid down. It sucks all the air out of everything in the chamber, and then right at the end, it just blows all the air basically out, sucks all the air out, and it just vacuum seals everything right down. With like a food saver one, you put it in, close the lid, and it just closes down like on a seal portion of the top of the bag, and then it just sucks the air out, you know, through the whole process rather than sucking it out of the chamber. So long story short, I ended up buying this chamber sealer, and it's worked flawlessly. I've only got about 2 months under my belt with it, so I figured for the price, why not? And I've got, I bet you I got 100 seals on it up to this point, and it's been working perfect. So highly recommend that. So I could send you any of the information on that. I still use the food saver one. It's a great backup. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just I wanted something a little bit better. The other thing that we bought, we ended up buying a smoker, electric smoker by Masterbuilt. Pretty much you can get them at any big box store. I think I ended up picking this one up from, I think it was Menards or Home Depot or something. They ran like a deal on it. So we did that. So we have been able to, basically with all that stuff, we've got all the equipment we want to do up brats, to do up snack sticks, to do up jerky, you know, to smoke, just smoke anything you want, smoke chickens, pork, whatever. So, I mean, it's been a lot of fun getting into that. So it's always a feel good thing when you can do that stuff and make it for yourself rather than have pay somebody else to do it. And, you know, some people are into that, some people are not, but I'm getting a lot of like gratification out of being able to do that myself and then try a bunch of different things, you know, as far as flavors and stuff like that. And you get into these companies like PS Seasoning, and there's just tons of companies out there. The PS Seasoning, that's the company that I've been using, and I only did that because that's who I was told to go through, just from the guys that I know that do this stuff on their own. So we've just been kind of going through this process of elimination of trying different things as far as like brats and stuff like and stuff goes. So we've tried like a bacon cheddar barbecue brat, a honey mustard brat, pineapple teriyaki. What else? I'm going to try like it's a mac and cheese brat. I just did like a cherry cayenne brat. So lots of great different flavors and stuff like that to try. And then along with the snack sticks, you know, it's just been a lot of fun to do go through the whole process. And it's not something that you can just do right out of the gate. Everything, every time you do it, you get a little bit better at it. You get a little bit more efficient at it. And it's just fun to do. So those are the things that, we've been doing, and it's fun throughout the winter months when you're just kind of holed up in your house and having a little bit of cabin fever and stuff. So what we've been doing is we just take like all of our burger from our venison. We grind it up. I package it up into 6-pound packages, and then I just do it with a 50-50 pork to venison mix, because you want to have that little bit of pork in there with some pork fat so that it doesn't taste all dry and kind of crumbly if it's just venison. Some people, you know, maybe go with a little bit less pork and a little bit more venison, but it's all personal preference. I just, from what I was shown right from the get-go, was a 50-50 mix is a pretty good mix. So a lot of these seasoning companies, if you buy like a whole pack, like with PS Seasoning, if you can buy like a unit of seasoning that will do 25 pounds of meat. So what I do is I take 12 pounds of venison burger. That's why I package that venison in 6-pound packages. So if I'm doing a full batch, which is going to be 25 pounds, I'm going to take 12 pounds of pork butt, and I'm going to take 12 pounds of venison burger. And then I'm going to throw those all together, grind them all up, and then throw the seasoning in, put them in that lem mixer, and mix everything up, put a few cups of water in with it, get it nice and tacky, and then you can take that whole bundle of meat, 25 pounds, and put it into that stuffer, and then and make your brats and snack sticks and stuff. So as far as the casings that we've been getting. I've been getting casings from PS Seasonings. I've also been getting them from a company called Walton's. The casings for the brats is a 30 millimeter clear fresh collagen casing, and then for the snack sticks, I've been using a 21 millimeter smoked collagen snack stick casing. And the reason why with the sticks, although I do put them in the smoker, I don't actually smoke them. It's more just a cook. So the collagen casing itself has the smoke like infused right into the casing. So a person could smoke them, but you don't necessarily need to. And I don't smoke the brats at all. Guy could smoke the brats, but I don't smoke them. I just do them fresh, and then I package them. And then as we get them out, we throw them on the grill. I usually package them up in like, you know, a 5 to 7 inch brat and put 5 in a package. And then that way, if you're out, say, you know, camping or in the summertime, you just want to get together, wherever, we take a lot of them out. In the wintertime, we'll take our little grill when we're out fishing or something. We'll throw the grill on, throw some brats on. And that's when it really, that's when that stuff really shines, and I enjoy it. And we'll take the sticks and stuff with us wherever we go. So that's just something that we love doing. So, but yeah, so that's what we've been doing. And it's been a lot of fun. I'll be honest, I get a little bit stir crazy in the wintertime. I try to get out as much as I can. That's why I love go fishing. We used to do a lot of ice fishing, but man, we just seem to struggle with getting ice sometimes. And you know, I just really don't have that many great places that I can go to catch panfish or whatever, at least locally. And I don't want to travel too far to go get, you know, some bluegill or whatever. So if we can, we'll try and go get some walleye. Which is nice if there's ever ice, or we'll hit the rivers, either Saginaw River if it's open, which currently it is, Tittabawassee River if it's open, which it currently is. I imagine probably this week they're going to be starting to make a lot of ice. We're supposed to be single digits for the entire week, so it's going to be one of those weeks where there's going to be a lot of things changing. So that's really what I've been doing. And that's what I'm going to continue to do. It's always fun once you get this process and equipment, you get some buddies together, grab some beers, put some football on and just do a brat making day or snack stick making day or whatever, breakfast sausage. The stuff's really fun to do, and, it's even better to eat. So, but anyway, I just want to kind of come on, give you guys a heads up on that whole process. And like I said, if you want to had any questions, as far as links to this stuff and you know, maybe just my own personal opinion on it. Like I said, I'm no expert at it. I've just been learning a lot from the people that I know that shown me I'll give you any information that you may or may not feel like you may want. So anyway, that's going to be it. It's going to be a short, sweet podcast for today. Hope you all enjoyed it. We'll see you on episode 33. Take care. It's Mic'd Up Outdoor Podcast. We'll see you.